time to talk Pac-12 hoops and a lot more. Our next guest, one of our faves, though it's been a little over a year since we've chatted. You can follow all he's up to, and it's a lot. Use the Twitter handle at JB_Long. JB, appreciate you checking in. How you been?
Steve, you got a better memory than I do. I didn't realize it had been that long, but I'm glad we're bringing the streak to an end.
Yep, come crashing down. Let's actually get back to last summer. As everybody knows, the Rams were back in L.A. for the first time since Chuck Knox was coach and Flipper Anderson was catching passes. I'm very curious about that whole process and, you know, how just over the moon you must have been to become the play-by-play guy for the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, over the moon's a good way to describe it. I mean, I probably would have said yes to an opportunity to join the NFL ranks for the first time, even if it had been, you know, Cleveland or Jacksonville. No offense to those cities, but I just don't have any personal connection there. But California born and raised, and being an LA native, you know, by birth, this was an unbelievable opportunity to only have to relocate my family just a couple hours south and not have to leave California. It was a dream come true, and I hope that it's a dream that lasts 3 or 4 or 5 decades.
We know that Jeff Fisher was dismissed 13 games in, and about 4 weeks ago, they hired Sean McVay as the new head coach. Most casual fans probably not familiar. He's the youngest head coach in the league, one of the youngest ever, had been with Washington. So for folks who are not familiar with him, I mean, what could you tell us about the Rams' new coach?
Yeah, I think his reputation is built on a couple of things. Most recently, giving Kirk Cousins the opportunity to blossom over the last two seasons. I think the opinion of Kirk Cousins, maybe 2014 to 2017, Sean McVay's played a large role in revamping that. And then also kind of being a disciple of two coaching trees, the Shanahan tree, but also the John Gruden tree. He and his family go way back with the Grudens. And so a lot of people have observed that when you hear him speak in front of a group, it's almost like you're hearing a young John Gruden. And certainly that's what the Rams hope that they're tapping into. But yeah, you're right. He's newly 31 years old, Steve. In my first season in the NFL, I went from being, I guess, the youngest radio play-by-play voice in the league, and now being older than my head coach, so life comes at you fast.
That's awesome. Let's get to hoops, talking with J.B. Long, in this case of the Pac-12 Network. Tonight we get the back end of the big marquee matchups after Duke, North Carolina, Ducks, Bruins. Obviously, you've seen UCLA. We know with Ball and all that firepower, they can run and gun. But how concerned should they be about some of those defensive deficiencies if they're really thinking they can make a deep March run?
I think it's a huge concern. I mean, they have the firepower to outscore any team on any night, certainly, but it's rare that a group is able to put together, what, 6 consecutive games, you know, scoring in the high 90s or maybe even 100 points to overcome any defensive shortcoming. I've said this to a few people recently. I think Steve Alford has an interesting choice to make because Thomas Welsh, who I know your audience knows well from his accolades in the Pac-12 at UCLA, very efficient scorer in the post for the Bruins, but he's a defensive liability against a true back-to-the-basket post player. They have a freshman, Ike Anabogu, who is a more defensive physical presence and a shot blocker, a rim protector. And I wonder if UCLA, because they have enough scoring at the other four positions, they don't necessarily need a ton from Welsh. I wonder if Steve would be willing to sacrifice a few minutes for the junior for some more defensive presence from the freshman to give them a little bit more rim protection to cover up, you know, maybe a lack of staying in front of a dribble on the perimeter.
JB, this Oregon team started the season with huge aspirations. Then they got Dylan Brooks hurt. They had Clunker at Baylor. They lost to Georgetown. But since then, they've won loss. Obviously, what happened against Arizona Saturday just was off the charts. Considering their most suspect games have been on the road, how big is it that they show well tonight at Pauley?
I think it's important, especially if, in my mind, they're playing for a number one overall seed, and I think this would go a long way. A road win at Pauley Pavilion would put them in great position. If I'm Oregon, I don't want to leave the West on my way to the Final Four. I mean, it lines up pretty nicely. So I would be wanting to go Sacramento, San Jose, Phoenix, right? And I think that's a big opportunity for the Ducks. I'm with you in terms of their preseason expectations. I think this is a Final Four bust kind of year for them in terms of what the we would all feel good about that they had achieved building off of last year's performance. But I'll temper that only by saying it's February 9th, and February 14th is an important day for me, not because it's Valentine's Day, don't tell my wife, because that's when I start to evaluate Dana Altman's teams. Because if I've learned anything from covering this league and from covering Dana's teams, it's that by the time Valentine's Day arrives, his group rarely loses a game again. And we'll see if that's the case this year.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for Rose's chocolates and JB's evaluation of the Ducks. Being in L.A. and obviously traveling around covering this conference, I'm always curious, folks in league, what they're looking at, what they think of what this about this Oregon team. So from the analysts, players, and you just alluded to that, somebody said they shouldn't have a ceiling on expectations this year. That sound logical?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with Sean Miller's assessment post-game after that blowout last weekend. You know, he was hoping that Oregon team doesn't have another gear, because if so, not only are they going to win the league, they're going to win the national championship. And I would say that they may not even need to take it to the next year for that to be true. I think they're in a great position right now. Elite rim protection, elite shooting, and I'm not sure there's another team that commits to the defensive end as consistently as Dana's program does. Now, do they have their defensive lapses like any other group? Sure. But night in and night out, I think Oregon is one of, if not the most reliable teams in the country in terms of the intensity that they're going to bring on that end of the floor. And on top of all that, I think right now, if we had to decide this moment, I think they have the Pac-12 Player of the Year, despite all the phenomenal freshmen. For me, it's Dylan Brooks.
All right, we're talking with J.B. Long, Pac-12 Network. Saturday night, they'll be across town to play USC at Galen Center. There was a point early in league play when the Trojans had kind of climbed the charts. Then they came here, got smoked, they dropped a tough one to Cal. But with Benny Boatwright back, they won four straight. How do you like this USC team now and moving forward?
Yeah, I actually did that first SC game up there in Eugene, and I had high hopes for that game. I thought that would be a really athletic, competitive affair, and USC just has Oregon in their head. They can't get over the hump against that particular program. They've never beaten them in the Indian Field era, and it hasn't been particularly close. So I was disappointed with that game just from a purely competitive standpoint when they met at Matthew Knight Arena. I'll be curious to see, you know, what kind of confident effort they muster at Galen Center on Saturday night. Assuming they can get past Oregon State tonight, and I'm heading that way in just a moment to call that game, this is a really, really important game for the Trojans, because after tonight against OSU, they go home Oregon, at UCLA, and you know the Bruins are going to be taking their best shot, and then at Arizona as well. So it's as tough a three-game stretch as any college basketball team has. In fact, USC is the only team in the country that plays the top tier of our league, UCLA, Oregon, Arizona, twice.
Whoa, good pull there. Final thought, I saw on your Twitter account you noted with last night's rout of Arizona State, Cal's now a half length in front of UCLA for third. Mm-hmm. Since their last loss, which was also here in Eugene, they've won five in a row. I love their freshman point guard, Charlie Moore. How dangerous is this Bears team?
No, it's a really good question. I think they're going to be a team that needs a good draw. I think they're definitely a top half team in the league. Right now they look like the only true bubble team from the Pac-12. I hope that they can sustain a second half push and make it five teams in the dance from our league instead of just four. But, you know, Ivan Rabb is a first-round draft pick. You mentioned Moore, he's a good one. And when Jabari Bird is playing like he did in that overtime contest against Utah, that gives them three, you know, all-league, borderline, all-American caliber players, which is good enough to win on any given night. So I've always liked the motivation that Konzo Martin is able to instill in his team. Again, they'll lock you up defensively. Not the most gifted team offensively, so I think they're beatable by the top teams, Arizona, Oregon, UCLA, because of the way they can score. And I'm just not sure that Cal has enough to consistently beat the really gifted offensive teams in our league.
All right, great stuff as always. As JB mentioned, he'll be alongside the coach, Steve Lavin, calling Oregon State. And Arizona State tonight. Look at that. I'm giving you the wrong game. USC tonight on the Pac-12 Network at 8 o'clock. Catch up with all he's up to on Twitter at JB_Long. JB, really appreciate your time. Great insight, and it's good to finally catch up after a while.
No, it's nice to hear from you, and thanks to everyone in your audience for following along Pac-12 basketball this year, and I'll see most of you Saturday night for Oregon SC.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, JB. Travel safe.
Take care. All right.
284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, if you want to jump on in. Before we move along, I do want to remind you that if you're in the market, if you're going to buy a home or refinance, I've got something for you. It's called Peak Mortgage. Their phone number is 342-2525. You may be able to save $1,000.